ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we continue reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, entitled Kinjayati Achieves Liberation. Text number 4, 5, and 6. So we're going to recite just the fifth verse, and I'm going to do myself these six ones. Sotriya kupasroshoni tangeva chakamekila tayavritan samudviksya padyoja kanta kaminihi. Sotriya kupasroshoni tangeva chakamekila tayavritan samudviksya vavyuja kantakaminihi. Sotiryat kupaksosroni tangeva chakamekila tayavritan samudviksya Vavhyoja kantakamihi. Please chant. Sotiriya kupatsrosoni tangeva chakrame kila. Shoshoni Sevas Mekilam Karma Kamini Sotiria Kupat Shoshoni Tameva Chakamekilam. Matthias, please. Sotiriya kupat shoshoni Mekila Tayavritan samudviksya Vyoja kintakamani. Sotiriya kupat shoshoni Tangeva chakamekila Tayavritan samudviksya Bhakvyoya kantakami. Sotirya kvakoshoni Tangeva chakamekila Tayavritan samudviksya Oja kanta kamani. Sort, word for word, sa dishigot uttirya, getting out, kupat, from the well, susroni, possessing very nice hips, tam unto the higot, eva, indeed, Chakame desired to get as her husband. Kila, indeed. Taya, by her. Vritan, accepted. Samudviksha, sing. Bahbihya, many others. Ajaha, sea gods. Kantakaminihi, designed to get the he-god as their husband. Pivanam, very stout and strong. Asmasrulam, having a very nice mustache and beard. Prestam, first class. Midvansam, expert in discharging semen. Javakovidam, expert in the art of sexual intercourse. Saha, that he got. Ekaha, alone. Ajavrisaha, the hero of the gods. Tasam, of all the she gods. Badvinam, a great number. Rati Vardhanam, could increase the lusty desires. Reme, he enjoyed. Kamagraha Grastaha, being haunted by the ghosts of lusty desires. Atmanam, his own self. Na, not. Avadudyata, could understand. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. When the she-god, who had very nice hips, got up of the well and saw the very handsome he-god, she desired to accept him as her husband. When she did so, many other she-gods also desired him as their husband, because he had a very nice, very beautiful bodily structure and a nice mustache and beard, and was expert in discharging semen and in the art of sexual intercourse. Therefore, just as a person hunted by ghosts exhibit madness, the best of the he-gods, attracted by many of the she-gods, engaged in erotic activities and naturally forgot his real business of self-realization. Purport. Materialists are certainly very much attracted by sexual intercourse. Jami tunadi grihamedi sukanghit cham. Although one becomes a grihastra or householder to enjoy sex lives to his heart's content, one is never satisfied. Such a lusty materialist is like a god, for it is said that if gods, men for slaughter, get the opportunity, they enjoy sex before being killed. Human beings, however, are meant for self-realization. Tapo divyam putraka jena satan sudhye jasmad brahma saukhyam tu anantan. Human life is meant for self, for realization of the self. The spiritual soul within the body, the hinus min jatadehe. A materialistic rascal does not know that he is not the body but the spiritual soul within the body. However, one should understand his real position and cultivate knowledge by which to get free from the bodily entanglement. Like an unfortunate person who acts madly, hunted by gods, a materialistic haunted by the ghost of loss forgets his real business so that he can enjoy so-called happiness in the bodily concept of life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simhate Virvahu Pravurite Namine Sisivrinda Daira Padapankaya Vina Paramashirvahe. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simhate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauri Bani Pracharini Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Satanini. Thank you everyone for attending Srimad Bhagavatam. I request the blessing from Senior Vaishnavas so I can do some service for everyone, for the benefit of everyone, and especially myself. So here we continue in this story of King Jayati. And after so much frustration and sense enjoyment, he became philosophical, and he's telling this story of the gods. It's a very funny story. And analogy of his own life. So we can see here the basic principle of this material existing is the attraction between men and women. So therefore, this material existence is called Maithunya Agara. Maithunya means sex, and Agara means house. So eat, drink, marry, and enjoy. That is the materialistic life. So the symbol of ignorance is this sex life. So it's compared to the prison house where the criminals are kept behind bars. So sex life are the shackles which keep the living entity within this material world. Therefore, sex is the grossest type of anartha. So here the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for finish this anartha. Actually, this attraction between men and women is not at all natural, because it exists originally in the spiritual world. It's the attraction between Radha and Krishna. Krishna is attracted by Radharani, and Radharani is attracted by Krishna. But here in the material world, become perverted. In the spiritual world, it's called Adi Rasa. In the material world, it's called Deva Maya. Because cows entanglement. Cows bondage. So in this material world, both Prakriti, female, and male are actually Prakriti. Female and male, we are also Prakriti. The only male is Krishna. Krishna is the only Purusha. But when we try to take this position on enjoyer, Purusha, we become entangled and become material existence. So material existence means suffering. There was one philosopher, French philosopher, his name was Albert Camus. He wrote one essay in which described the story of one king. It's called Sisyphus, king of Corinth in Greece. And he explained that how this king, Sisyphus, was doomed to roll uphill a heavy stone. But as soon as the stone gets tapped up top of the hill, it rolls down again. So he has to repeat this task over and over in eternity. So Albert Camus compares the life of Sisyphus to the life of the old man in this material world, to the materialistic man. So he said that all these materialistic activities are futile. People are working very hard for sense gratification, carrying the burden of the family life to a known hill. So Albert Camus presented the problem, but he didn't give any solution because he himself didn't know. But the Srimad Bhagavatam presented the problem very nice and scrutinized way, but it also gave the solution. So Srila Prabhupada explained that by the end of the nine cantos, we shall become self-realized soul. He said we should not jump to the tenth canto like some class of people who only are interested in reading the tenth canto where the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna are performed. So they want to hear especially the rasa dance. Srila Prabhupada explained that this is very, is actually very bad because we weren't able to understand the position of Krishna. Therefore, we start to read from the first and second canto what represent the lotus feet of Krishna. And gradually go to the next canto until we reach the tenth canto. For at this point, we already can understand the position of Krishna and his pastime, especially the rasa dance. Similarly, when we come to say darshan of the deities every day, we don't see directly the face as soon we take darshan of the deities when the altar is open. Prabhupada explained, first we have to glance the lotus feet of Gornitai and Rumini Dwarkadis and gradually raise up onto his beautiful face, and his mind represents the rasa dance. So the Vedic instructions tell us how to live and also is telling us how to become free from this entanglement. It's interesting, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maharaj Nimi met the Navayogendras, Maharaj Nimi posed different questions to them. And one of the questions was about this karma kanda, the fruitive activities, karma yoga, the process of karma yoga. And one of the Navayogendras, I think his name was Sri Suhotra something, I forgot the name, they're very complicated names. So he explained that he gives very nice verse that I like so much. He said, Purusha, Paroksha Vada Vedo Vejam. He said, Valanam Anushasanam, Karma Mokshaya Karmani, Vidite Hi Agadanjata. So the translation of this verse is very interesting. Valanam, he said, the child. He compares the materialistic people as children, foolish children, that they are very much attached to karmani, to the fruited activities. And then, although he said, the goal of life is to get free from these activities. Therefore, he said, the Vedas and indirectly leads one to the path of the ultimate liberation by first prescribing the karma kanda, the fruited religious activities. He said, just like a father promises a candy to his child, so he will take the medicine. So it's very interesting, because one may wonder if the ultimate goal is to attain Krishna, why is the karma kanda section? But this is explained very nicely here. It's just like a candy to give to the foolish materialistic. Because sometimes the medicine tastes bitter, huh? So especially give it this sex life for materialistic people, and the fruity activities tastes bitter. It's practically impossible for them. So therefore, in the process of karma kanda, is little by little they become purified in order to come to the real position of liberation. That's why Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm sorry, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna, Traiguna Visaya Arjuna, Traiguna Visaya Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna. He said, just become transcendental to these three modes of material nature. But these fruitless activities, all these are under the jurisdictions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna advised to Arjuna and is telling us to rise above the three modes in order to attain, to get free from this attachment of the fruitless activities. Because karma in jnana with karma and jnana, it's not possible to attain love for Krishna. Only with bhakti. So all religions practically have these strands of karma and jnana and bhakti. They woven together in different ways. But the special characteristic of Vaishnava tradition is that the acharyas, especially the Sri Goswamis, they separate bhakti from karma and jnana to give us pure bhakti. Anyavalesita sunyam jnana karmani navritam anakulyena krishnu shilanam bhakti rutaman. So Prabhupada came to give us pure bhakti. There is no need to search for somewhere else or somebody else. It's already there. As we all say many times, it's already in the Prabhupada's book. Everything is there. We have to just have the proper direction to see it, the cool head, the cool mind, to study properly the Prabhupada's books. So these stories are meant actually to give up and to get free from these entanglements. So King Jayati is explaining in a very funny way this story to his wife Devayani, and how he became entrapped by this attraction and sense enjoyment. But ultimately he came to his senses and realized the futility of these activities and surrendered to Krishna. And at the end he went back to Godhead. And Devayani also came back to Godhead, because thanks to her husband. So this is the situation in which the living entity become entangled. So the materialistic people are so attached. It's like a children. They are like a children. The children plays all day. This is the only thing they like to play. This all comes from Krishna, because Krishna, in his pastimes, he always playing with his friends. There is one pastime when Krishna was playing in the bank, by the bank of the Yamuna, and there was a lunch time. So Rohini came to call them, Krishna and Balaram, to take his lunch. But they didn't listen to Rohini. So Rohini went back and sent Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda started to call Krishna and Balaram. And she told them that his father, Nanda Maharaj, was waiting. As long as they don't come, Ananda Maharaj won't eat. So Krishna and Balaram, when they heard this, so they agreed to come back home. But the children threatened Krishna. He said, Krishna, is you go? He said, we're never going to play with you. And Krishna became afraid, and he came back to play with them again. So Mother Yasoda again tried to convince Krishna to come back to take lunch. She was telling him, Krishna, you're not a street boy. He said, you have a home. Come. And he, at the end, he convinced him to come back. So this is it. This is called prayers. Prayer means the immediate benefit. So these childish people are engaged in fruitic activities, engaged in this sense gratification. It's called prayers. They want some immediate benefit. They have no idea what Shreya is. Therefore, the missions of the old acharyas and all the devotees of Krishna consciousness is to give the Shreyas to these childish people. So this Saturday we will have the opportunity to give these people this Shreya in the form of Srila Prabhupada's book. And that will be the supreme benefit for the these materialistic people. They will have this opportunity. Even they are not ready to give up these fruited activities, but they will have some. We have some. The seed will sit in there in their hearts. And even if they take this in this lifetime, they will for sure in the future lifetime, they will be able to regain his pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and go back to Godhead, because that is the plan of Krishna. Krishna created this material world with the purpose to give it the chance to all living entities come back to him. Krishna doesn't like that we stay here. Actually, Krishna, he desires more intense that we go back to him than we desire. We still want some enjoyment in this material world. We want to be the enjoy separate from Krishna. And that is the main disease, the main problem of the conditioned living entity. He doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be served. He wants to be the master. So by this process of Krishna consciousness, gradually we can come to the point to realize our real position as eternal servants of Krishna, and practice, put in practice this activities given by us, given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And it will take seriously, as long we don't surrender completely, will not possible to achieve the perfection in this lifetime. Therefore, Prabhupada always insisted that we have to make it in this lifetime. Not everybody will make it, but at least we're going to try their best. Yeah? And at the end, it's in the hands of Krishna. It's in the hands of Krishna. So we are only depending only by mercy. But we also have to put our effort. And the result is to Krishna. So we only pray that we continue. We have this opportunity before quitting this present body to have purified enough. To purify ourselves enough in order to, by the mercy of Krishna and the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, we can attain the eternal abode which we belong and forget about this illusion that we are trying to enjoy here. So I will stop here. If there is any questions or corrections.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Matthew. The period. Yeah. Yes. The only way is to. For example, if the offenses are committed to the lotus feet of some Vaishnava, is to serve him. To serve him. To serve him very sincerely. See, because Krishna can forgive his offenses, but he hardly forgive the offenses to the Vaishnavas. But this is the only that I think I know, I heard, is to serve the Vaishnava. We commit offenses to Vaishnava, the only way we can to nullify the offenses is to put ourselves to his service. Anyone has a Archita Prabhu? If that is the correct way to nullify the offenses.
What was the question again? I didn't hear clearly.
Is we are committed offenses to the devotee for many years, but we want to correct ourselves. What is the best way?
Well, the first thing is you approach a person that you offended and admit that the offense is. The person may not even know that you offended them or may not have accepted it as an offense. You can't just go and start serving somebody. You know, that may be offensive in itself. If you just go and start serving someone, they may not want to be served. So the first step is if you know consciously that you made an offense, then you approach a person that you offended and admit that I offended you in such and such way. Generally, the Vaishnava is a real Vaishnava. They'll say no. I'm not offended. I'm lower than the worm and stool. How can you offend me? Nobody's lower than, like that. That's a real Vaishnava. But then if it's agreed, yes, then you do something to rectify the situation. But don't just show up at somebody's door and start serving them if they don't even accept that you've offended them in any way. Because that may also be offensive. So some devotees just don't want to be served in any way.
Is that all right for you? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
In the class, you were mentioning that this material world is actually full of suffering and it's also temporary. Actually, I was explaining the same thing to a young couple in Dallas, Texas, in the downtown, while I was distributing a book. But, you know, this couple, the husband, you know, saying, you know, I really enjoy my life. I have my, you know, nice house. I have wonderful car. I have good bank balance. And I have young, beautiful wife. You monk, why don't you spread some positive news? Mm-hmm. I was so shocked with, you know, his answer, and I do not know what to say. Mm-hmm. You know, can you give some, you know, inspiration so that I can fight back in the future? You know?
Maya works in Maya has two potencies. One is to cover the living entity, in whatever position he is, and the other one is thrown down to the material world. So the covering potency of Maya make things that we are happy. So because these people are covered by Maya, so they think they are very happy. Only very few people realize they are not happy, no matter what they have. You know, there are so many people who are have everything you said, but they are miserable. They have some realization, but obviously. These people are completely undercover by the illusionary energy of Maya. Therefore, they cannot see it. But I think something bad happened, you know. Like anything can happen, you know. Any child can die in his family. The house can burn to ashes with a fire. They start to suffer completely, you know. So this is a just temporary covering. They just, it's like it says even the worm, the stool, think that he's happy, you know. So you know the story of the Indra and the hog when he was cursed to become a hog, was Indra, right? Yeah. When Brahma came, I think it was Brahma who came to tell him, please come back. You know, you have your kingdom there. You are a king. You're a king of king of the devas. You have so much opulence. But what he said, in his form, he said, the hog, he said, no, he said, this is heaven, you know. I'm enjoying here, you have nice food. You know, it's eating a stool. I have my little house and my wife. So this is the position, you know. In this connection about these people, maybe it's not will be the proper way to tell them about the suffering. You can tell him there is a better way for happiness. You can tell him there is, yes, you are happy, but you can be even more happy if you take this Krishna consciousness. Actually, you will have unlimited happiness, you know, because your happiness is temporary. Also, it can be checked, it can be destroyed in any moment because the material energy, the laws of material nature, they are the job of material nature, the job of Durga, is to make sure you're not happy. Therefore, it can give you a little happiness in the form of pious activities according to the karma. But then, in the best moment you are doing the best happiness, he gives this truck, you know. Something happened. That's the nature of the material energy. It's always changing, and they always give you something. It cannot be a permanent happiness. Happiness, you can tell him, is a permanent happiness. There is no question of suffering. But they are happy now, happy in a few days, but then later something happened in their complete suffering. Suffering is there. It's because the nature of this world is suffering. The happiness is just temporary attempt to counteract suffering. That's the only happiness. But karma puts it sometimes in, you know, it's like the wheel, this fairy wheel. Sometimes you're in the top and sometimes you're in the bottom. It's not permanent. That's the only thing I can think about it.
Thank you very much.
So Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Oh, you're Ravindranath Prabhu. Sorry.
Yeah, you mentioned about trying our best to become Krishna conscious, and then if Krishna wants, we could go back to the spiritual world. But isn't it that that's Krishna's actual desire? He wants us to go back to the spiritual world or become Krishna conscious, and it's just a matter of we just have to do that, or we have to become enthusiastic, do that stuff. That's what we have to want. We don't want anything else, and then automatically we'll be there.
So I didn't understand the question.
You know, in other words, you were saying in the lecture that, you know, we have to try our best to become Krishna conscious,
yes.
And then it's up to Krishna whether we go back to Godhead.
When? No, I didn't say when. No, I didn't say when. I mean, it's up to Krishna.
It's up to Krishna.
Yeah.
So it's up to Krishna. But I thought it was up to us.
Both things are there. Both things are there. It's like mercy. There is causeless mercy, but it also wants to be qualified to receive this causeless mercy. And the qualification is our endeavor, sincere endeavor, or sincere desire. Because the one, what is the price? Is what is the Sanskrit word? Some laulian, intense desire. That is the price.
Yeah.
And when there is laulian, intense desire to go back to Godhead, then we receive the mercy of Krishna.
Okay.
I mean, both things are there. But we cannot. The thing is, we cannot think ourselves that I am. I'm going back to Godhead. The thing what I say is like a kind of false ego, that I am so elevated, so I go back to Godhead because my own endeavor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we always we thinking that we are depending on the causeless mercy of Krishna, because we're going to fall down in this false pride. That because I'm doing it, I'm going back to Godhead. That's what it basically mean. What I meant.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Grantarashimad Bhavatan ki jai. Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.